I trust that what's going to happen is I am going to break open, and I am so excited about that.
That's Emma Brett joining us from Ottawa as she gets set to hit the road for one whopper of a hike, Scotland's West Highland Way. Do you ever feel like a hamster on the treadmill of life? Welcome to She Walks the Walk, a movement I started to help women lead more inspired, more authentic lives. I'm Sam Plavins. Thanks for popping in to listen. So I met Emma in university almost 30 years ago, standing in the hallway of our university's music center. We were so wide-eyed and had no idea what we were doing. She played the flute, I was a piano major. We clicked right away and have been dear friends since. But actually, I owe a lot to this woman. She's literally the whole reason I met my husband. And neither she nor I will ever forget that day, August 22nd, 1998. It was her wedding, in fact. And it was one of those set-up, fix-up situations that almost went wrong. She told me about this guy. I was having none of it because it was a heartbroken train wreck. Yada, yada, yada. I saw him, decided to make him mine, and the rest is history. That is actually a story for another day. Emma has battled addiction, childhood trauma, and a lifelong struggle with her weight. But a walk to the forest changed everything for her. And I've been in awe at all she's overcome in the last few years. Let's have a listen to our chat. And fair warning, we spoke for over an hour and a half, so I've had to edit this down to some bite-sized chunks. You may find some pieces a little bit disjointed, but there's real depth and meaning in here for anyone who struggled with putting themselves first and for anyone who wonders if there's a place for them in the outdoors.
The gist of it is I'm inspired by you. Hmm. And there's so much about you that obviously I've known because we're friends and I know you, but there's a lot of layers of stuff you've been through in your life and like Emma emerging that I've been witness to. And I'm just like, she could really help some other women.
Thank you. Honestly, that is actually all I want.
Yeah.
So the way I look at it, I know this is a really sort of weird way of looking at it, but it's sort of a case of, if I had to go through the bullshit that I had to, oh, sorry, you're recording. Sorry.
Fuck that shit.
Okay, good. Okay.
We're keeping it real.
Basically, if I had to go through that, I want it to mean something, and I want it to be for good. So, yes. And so Dr. Glennon Doyle, his words really resonate with me. And he said that the most exciting part of recovery is recovering yourself. Mm. It's scary, but it's so empowering, but yes, it's terrifying, but it's incredibly, like, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. And there's a lot of sort of trauma and a lot of sort of stupid stuff that I'm recovering from now, from childhood. And so I was always the weirdo. I was always the black sheep. I was literally called the black sheep, like, by two of my family members. And so now I have the chance to actually be me.
Yes.
I still feel like I have to apologize, because I have always had to apologize for being me my whole life. But I'm now getting to the point where I can be me, and I'm beginning to not apologize for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Getting there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. There's so much to unpack. And over the years, I have seen Emma really go through a metamorphosis. There's some obvious things, one of which is, you know, losing the weight that has bogged you down and keeping it off. You've fought through addiction. addiction with sugar and alcohol, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe food to some extent.
Oh, food, food is the number one.
Yeah. And still you are sober.
Yes.
And you are also somebody that loves the outdoors and finds deep peace anytime you're in nature.
Yes.
Am I right?
100%.
Okay. Okay. So that's
the forest is my therapist.
The forest is your therapist. Okay. I love that. So that's what I really want to talk about today is a little bit about your journey and where you're at right now and what being out in nature has been able to do for you. And I have some specific questions, but I'm actually going to just turn the floor over to you to ask if you can give like a 2-minute synopsis of what you've gone through.
Absolutely.
No pressure. 2 minutes.
So yes. So eating addiction, disordered thinking with eating. So an eating disorder, it stems from what I've discovered is that I have celiac disease, but I discovered that in the last couple of years, throughout my whole childhood, I would eat, I would be ill. And instead of parents caring about it, they made fun of it. And so my whole life, I was called Lulu because after every meal, I would run to the loo. Having British parents, the bathroom is the loo. And so my name was Lulu my entire life. And it was a few years ago that I sort of, my brain said, maybe they should have taken you to the doctor instead of ridiculing you. And so that sort of began the journey of the mental healing, which had to actually happen first before anything physical could occur. So what was that? 4 years ago, I lost 100 pounds. But then the problem is, so I was training for the Spartan race and I did the Spartan and I finished. I didn't finish last. And I was like, yeah. And then the training ended and I like, I don't know. I just sort of gave up. I stopped, gained 80 pounds and of the 100 that I had lost. And then I guess it was 2 Christmases ago, 2 Januaries ago, I gave up sugar. So January 25th, 2020, I gave up sugar. January 26th, 2019, I had given up alcohol. So I am almost 3 years sober, but I'm actually prouder of the sugar because the sugar was the greater addiction. Because as soon as I sobered up, I replaced the alcohol with sugar. And so the 1 or 2 bottles of wine a night became 1 or 2 bags of Fuzzy Peach a night. So then I had to give up the sugar. As soon as I gave up the sugar, what I realized is that sugar actually depressed me and I didn't know. So 3 weeks of very, very, very hellish withdrawals. Okay.
Yeah.
I had a harder time giving up sugar than I did alcohol. And I really loved wine, but I can tell you sugar was harder to give up. But then as soon as that happened, it was almost like the brain fog started to clear. And then the mental started to happen. The mental healing started to happen. So then I started walking a lot more and we started going to Morris Island. Morris Island Conservation Authority here in Goleta, which has, I don't know, like 6 or 7 different trails, and they're all different length trails. I started off just on the causeway, which is like a straight, literally just a straight there and back. And we started off and Owen would cross country ski all the trails while I walked. And I would put my music on in my headphones And I walked, and it started off with only 1 kilometer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was big. That was big. Yeah. Okay. Like, and when you're at the time, I would have weighed 280. So when you're 280 pounds, 1 kilometer is a long distance.
Yeah.
And then we started talking while we were walking. So then, you know, like I sort of started going farther. So then in the spring, we would talk and walk. And I can tell you, oh my goodness, that forest in Morris Island, that forest knows every single deep, dark secret of mine. Because things that you can't say to a human, you can say to a tree.
I love that.
Sorry, I'm going to get emotional.
That's
there's
okay.
There's a grove of 5 birches in Morris Island. And I actually go and I talk and I yell and I just like give everything to the trees. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like, I just go and I just like, I just talk to them. Mm-hmm. I just give everything to them. Sometimes I talk out loud because like, I know that I'm alone because like when we get there and there isn't one other car in the parking lot, I know that I can go and I can just have verbal diarrhea at the trees and I can just blah, 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 just let it all out.
Mm-hmm.
So thus basically began the mental healing, which there's nothing. So I couldn't have began the physical healing until the mental healing began. So I started talking and I started. So in my talking, what I realized is that was when I saw sort of the way I was treated as a child, I saw it for what it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to see, and you sort of almost see through different eyes when you're like the moment. So there's like a veil there's this, like there's like a veil of trauma that makes you blind, and you're blind to so much. You're also blind to the way you were treated. Like you're blind to sort of how you were mistreated is how you were mistreated, because you actually think you deserved it, because you think you're a piece of crap, right? You sort of think your whole life. But then when you go out, and there is a poem called Breathe, and I've shared it, and it's the last line is essentially, and I'm going to paraphrase it, she went to the forest and they didn't expect anything of her. They just let her breathe. So that's what I began to do.
And it's like an exhale for you.
Yes. Yes. I didn't realize that. And when you live your whole life in fight or flight, you literally are holding your breath. You are gasping. You are just your whole life. Okay. Like in sleep, in wake, everything, you are just holding your breath, and you don't know until you are allowed to breathe out and you go to the forest, and they don't expect anything of you. Okay. They love you because you are part of them. You are part of nature. So I then began to really appreciate and revere Mother Earth, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
She is who I now talk to. Okay.
Yeah.
People pray to God. I believe in God. I believe in the energy that is love, that is God. I talk to that energy as well, but most of my conversations are with Mother Earth, either Mother Earth or Grandmother Moon.
I so love that. I was just actually watching a video of that I recorded of myself walking in the tree farm from 2 years ago. And I don't know why I recorded it, never shared it with anyone. But I was having a moment in the forest, and I remember thinking, like, this is a safe place for me.
Yes.
I can come here and it's just like you say, I can be alone in my thoughts.
Yeah.
I can sort through my shit.
Yeah.
And nobody is pulling at my sleeve.
No.
And it is like, and I actually said this in the video, I feel instantly better.
Yes.
Instantly. And
yes.
And not just because I'm surrounded by, you know, like rows and rows of trees that are symmetrical and I love all the, like, I love all of that, but because I'm moving my body.
Yep.
I'm not paying a membership fee. I'm just outside moving.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. 100%. Dr. Van Bessel. Is it Dr. Van Bessel? I'm pretty sure Dr. Van Bessel wrote a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And
I got to write that yes. down.
Yeah. Kurt Von Bessel, Dr. Von Bessel, The Body Keeps the Score. And okay. he wrote it originally about soldiers with PTSD and mm-hmm. the way that their body actually physically stores that trauma. But when he started working with them, he then realized that anybody and everybody that carried both uppercase and lowercase C PTSD. So lowercase C is childhood PTSD and uppercase C is complex PTSD. So everybody who holds any PTSD holds trauma physically in their body. So what he explained is that talk therapy doesn't actually penetrate trauma. So you have to physically release it. So that's where the forest therapy comes in. That's why you actually feel instantly better, because you are getting a somatic release of trauma.
Oh my gosh.
So
Emma, I've never had it put in those words before, but that is what's happening in the body.
That's exactly what's happening.
Wow.
So it's twofold. So it is literally the oxygenation of the forest, because like when we go into the forest, we are getting what our bodies instinctively need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is that plus the actual physical movement. You are moving your body. So any somatic exercise is shaking, it's tapping, it's growling, it's dancing, it's just moving. You have to move your body. You have to release it, right? Because it gets stored. Right. Mm-hmm. Like anytime, you know, when you feel stuck and you feel right, you just got to release it. Like best thing, just tap it out. But when you move in the forest, you're releasing trauma and you're getting, and the tree is giving you what you need. So it is really like forest therapy is so real.
Oh my gosh.
It's not hooey. It's nothing. It's real.
No, it is real. Well, if you look at the people too, that have like this so-called highest quality of life or the longest, you know, longevity, anywhere in the world, they're either in an area where there's a lot of outdoor activity, like the Scandinavian countries, they revere walking, they love being outside, or they're in areas where there's a lot of forest around, like so-called blue zones in the earth, you know?
Yep.
So what I'm curious about is the transition from being in the forest and walking and discovering that that has helped you therapeutically and mentally. Is there any kind of shift in your head that takes place when you say you're going to go on a hike? Like, is there a shift in your energy? Like, is the latter more something you want to accomplish or achieve versus a therapy?
Yes. So the long walking, I didn't. So I got into that just a few months ago. So yeah, when we first said, okay, we're doing the West Highland Way.
Right. Which people don't know about. So we've decided we're walking the West Highland Way, which is a big deal.
So yes, so there's a small part of me that went stubborn, that inner stubborn me that said, oh, I've got to learn everything about this. Also, because I'm neurospicy, I'm not neurotypical, I am neurodivergent. So my brain works.
Neurospicy.
No, I am neurospicy. So I fixate, and I know that, yeah. And that's okay. I accept that. So as soon as we decided on our long walk, my brain said, learn everything there is to learn about it. And then it said, okay, so we're, in order to be able to do this well, we're supposed to take the longest day, and we're supposed to be able to do that length 3 days in a row. And that's our training. Okay. So then my brain was like, oh God, okay, we've got to learn how to do this. So then there was a number of months ago, we had a really bad power outage, and we actually had like, it was like a massive windstorm, and like, we actually had trees across our road, like,
oh yeah, blocking our road.
Oh yeah. Like power out everywhere. So the girls happened to be home that weekend, and I was up at like 6 o'clock, and I was like, okay, I know nobody else is going to be awake until like 9 o'clock. I've got 3 hours, just going to go for a little bit of a walk. So I started on my 5K loop, which is my normal loop. And I started on that. And of course, there were trees across the road. I couldn't do my normal loop. So I went the other direction. And my brain said, well, Morris Island is lovely to walk in. So my brain took me to Morris Island. So we usually drive to Morris Island. So we usually drive there because Morris Island is a 7.5 kilometer drive from my house. Okay.
Yeah.
So return trip is 15 kilometers. So we usually drive there, do the trails, and then drive back. This morning I said, oh, I'll just take myself to Morris Island. I got 6 kilometers in, and it's like, oh shit, I got to get back. So I texted Owen and I said, so I'm on a little bit of a longer walk. I'm going to be another hour or so. I didn't bring any water, didn't bring any food. I passed a swampy area. I tell you, that water looked really good. Like it looked, yeah, I was so thirsty by that point. So I got back. It was the very first time I had ever done a long walk like that. Like I'd never gone more than like, I don't know, 5 or 6 kilometers. I ended up doing 12, and I felt so invigorated and so alive, and it became a bloody addiction, and I blame you. It's all your fault.
I understand. There was a period of time when, during the pandemic, when the only thing I had control over was that I could walk and no one could, yes, take that away from me. Yes. And I remember just being, I became like this crazy lady in Thunder Bay, like the Broadway walker. I would just like walk. I would be like, okay, well, what street can I discover now? And it's like, well, it's been like 18 kilometers. Maybe I should go home. Like,
that's so awesome.
But it's so true that once you discover what your body, like our bodies, I think we treat them with, well, first of all, we abuse them, but also, yep, we make assumptions that we can't do things.
Oh, yes.
You know, and walking is just like, I think the body since the beginning of time has been designed to be in motion and to walk.
Yes.
You know, prior to all of our societal developments with transportation and all of that, people just walked everywhere. We roamed. Yes. We roamed the world.
Yes.
So it's like innate in us.
Yes, it is. I mean, it is how we became humans. We literally walked into humanhood. Like when, exactly, you really look at evolution, we walked into humanhood. So it is our, like, the basic instinct.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there is a shift in your mind then, I would say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, with going to the forest for some really good juju.
Yep.
And going to tackle something like the West Highland Way, which, yes, is, you know, you've never done anything like that.
Yep.
And how do you feel about it?
I am so insanely excited. I can't even begin to tell you, like, words fail me. What I am envisioning, like, I know that what's going to happen, I trust that what's going to happen is I am going to break open. And I am so excited about that. I am looking forward to breaking into a million pieces and then putting myself back together with all of you, with your love, with my love, because the one thing that I have, that I am very slowly getting with all of this walking, because now, so I now do that 15 kilometer loop once a week.
Yeah.
I crave it.
Yeah.
My body needs it. Yes. I love going, like I love driving to Morris Island and we go on our trail, like we do our trail and, you know, and I take photos and I sit with the trees. That is my, I have those moments, but I also need, and my body craves that I want to be hard on my body. Mm. So you are absolutely correct. We abuse our bodies, but then I sort of almost sort of have to remind myself, I'm not pathetic.
Of course not.
But the problem is I always thought I was. I always went through life saying, oh, I can't do this. I'm weak. I'm pathetic. I can't. And of course, I was overweight for 30 years, right? And I carried an extra 145 pounds around with me. And so of course there were some things that I just could not do. Right. I mean,
yeah,
I did have physical limitations, of course, but then I think what happened was that I can't then just bled into everything.
Yeah.
But the moment you prove to yourself, oh, actually I can, there's a shift. There's a mm-hmm. total mental shift. And I'll actually be like, I'll be walking and I'll be in the middle of the walk and my brain will say, we can't do this. Like, 'cause it's so used to saying we can't do this. And I'm walking and I'm like, fuck you. We can't, of course we can. Watch me. We're doing this. Like, what do you mean we can't? And so my brain actually is like, it has to catch up with my body. But the moment you realize you actually can is so life-changing, because now what this means is that we literally can do anything. Okay. So we can tackle, like, when I think about this trek, it is daunting. Mm-hmm. I've looked at photos. I'm terrified about the Devil's Staircase. I'm very grateful, that it's on day 10, because I know that we're going to need to work up to it. But I am so freaking excited, because I need to break into a million pieces. Mm-hmm. Because for so long I've been in this sort of one pathetic piece, and I've kept myself pathetic, and I'm using that deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kept myself there, and I've limited myself, but that ended, like I had been limiting myself. That ended that first walk when I just walked the 6 kilometers, realized that I had to walk another 6 kilometers back. And I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I lost 2 toenails in the process. I've since lost another 3 toenails because my body wasn't used to going on long walks. And I've lost toenails. I've like gone over on my ankle a few times. I have some injuries, but I wear those scars proudly now. Like, I am so freaking proud. Like, my toenail still hasn't grown in. Okay.
And the other thing that you said is your desire to shatter into a million pieces. That's what I wanted to do on the Camino. And I knew that it would serve me in that way. I knew it. I had that intention, and it did. And, you know, not everyone wants to shatter into a million pieces, because it's scary when you have to put yourself back together and go, oh, is this the real me? You know, oh, this is what's underneath. So it takes courage to want to face that. And you are going into the West Highland Way with like a bring it. I'm ready. Like a warrior cry.
Yes. And honestly, yes. That warrior cry is the perfect description. I think the reason why I want to break into a million pieces is because I've had outside forces, meaning, you know, my mother, my father, my sister, anybody who sort of developed me from a very young age, and then going into, you know, like teenage years, the bullies, everything like that. I've had authors, you know, basically put me together. Okay. I've had sculptors put me together, but they didn't put their pieces in the right places because they put them in the places where they wanted them to be. Deep down inside, I've always known, ever since I was a young child, I've always known that I was just sort of a feral human who loves to be outside. If I could live outside in the trees, I would.
Yeah.
I've always been okay with that. I've always been a tomboy. I've always loved outside. But I had so many sculptors put my pieces together. But the reason why I want to break into a million pieces is because they put me together wrong.
Yeah.
And they put me together with the wrong lessons and the wrong messages. And they put me together with the words, you are not enough. You are ugly. Nobody wants to look at you. You are stupid. They put me together with all of those messages, all of those lessons. But what I need to do is change the author, change the sculptor. And what I need is for you guys and for me and for basically the last 29 years of love that I've received from Owen and from you guys and from my daughters. And what I need is for you to now be my sculptors, but for me to be number one, because I know who I am and I am actually okay with who I am, because I'm not going to harm anyone. Like I'm not out to hurt anyone. I love life. I love to make people laugh. I love to be outdoors. I love to share the outdoors. I love to share my passion for trees, for the grandmother moon. I love to, you know, and so I want to break into a million pieces because I want to put myself back together with the right words, which are, you are enough. You are okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, Emma, I have another question for you, and I'm trying to figure out how to formulate it without being let's just get really, really real, because not that we're not really, really real. The other videos that I stumbled on was me walking in the same place, obviously for therapy reasons. And I had just come off of a night of abusing my body. Yeah. And the way I do that is with binging. And people may not know that that's a shameful thing I carry around, because they look at me and they think, oh, she doesn't have a problem with her weight. She must have no struggles with food. And it's actually like the farthest thing from the truth at all. Like I struggled deeply with shame and like doing bad things to my body. And so where I'm going with all of this is that people make judgments and perceptions of others based on how they look.
Yes.
And so one could say, well, how is Emma, like, let's put you back to when you first started walking and you were still carrying around the extra weight. Well, really, like, you're going in the outdoors, how you've dealt with it, because there are so many people, my mother included, who thinks, well, I'm too fat to walk. She literally says those things.
Yes.
You know, I can't go on a hike.
So unfortunately, those words come from ourselves. They come from society. They come from so many places, and we wear them on our, like, we wear them like a tattoo on our forehead.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually been, I've really been struggling to find out, to figure out, because you know how some people, like, they sort of have, they sort of have like a life or death experience and it changes them.
Yeah.
I never had a life or death experience. So I don't know what actually changed me. So the only thing that I can think of is that when I was diagnosed with neuropathy, because I had no feeling, like I went, what, 3, 4, 5 years, like not feeling my feet, like I, like zero sensation. Like you could stab me. Well, I mean, so I broke my toe and I had no idea. Okay. Like my two of my toe, like they're wonky because I had no feeling. And so when I was diagnosed with neuropathy, I think that was sort of the impetus that sort of that made me say, cause I was always afraid of being a burden. Like that's my biggest fear.
There you go.
My number one fear.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would rather die than disappoint somebody or be a burden to somebody, which is awful. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. so I was so terrified of ending up in a wheelchair and being a burden to Owen.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, the neuroscience, like she looked at me, she goes, oh yeah, I know you have neuropathy and like you, we're going to have to operate on your spine. I think that was what sort of made me say, oh my God, I've got to do something. I do still struggle. I really struggle with body dysmorphia. I started, so the last, I'm full disclosure, okay, full transparency here. The last weight that I saw on the scale was 292 pounds, but I stopped mm-hmm. looking at that point. I would imagine I tipped 300. This morning I weighed in at 147. So I have now officially lost 145 pounds. I am one friggin' pound away from being half my weight. And you have no idea how that is my drive. Okay. But that aside, unfortunately, I do still struggle with, you can't do that. You're fat. I do still struggle with that. Okay. Because yes, of course there are things that we are limited. Like, because who do you see out working in the gym, right? You don't see overweight people in the gyms. You see, you know, swollen, you know, you see like, you know, Susie Q in her cute little, you know, and you see Joey Swole, right? You don't see, so we don't feel like we have a place anywhere. Like we're not allowed on planes. And I mean, of course we're not allowed to eat in front of anybody, right? So you do, there has to be a mental shift. I think because I was so desperate, like my spirit wanted to be an athlete. I always wanted to be an athlete. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I was always very, very, very jealous of you. Okay. And you actually said something to me. I think it was about 10 years ago and it changed me. You completely changed me. You actually didn't say it to me. You said it. It was just a lesson that you taught. And I felt like you were speaking directly to me. You actually taught in, if you ever find yourself feeling jealous of somebody, instead of feeling jealous, ask them what inspires them and be inspired by them. And so I
asked
you.
That came from me.
That came from you. That came from you. And you inspired me. So instead of being, so that actually changed my mindset of, instead of being jealous of all of the people who were athletes and had, you know, and moved and were doing things, I sort of said, well, instead of being jealous about it, just be inspired by them. And so it was basically, okay, I could feel my feet. I can move. Finally can. Now let's just do it. Yeah, it started off with a few steps, and that's how you have to stop. That's how you have to start.
Yeah.
So you cannot. So it's with everything. So with the walking, with the weight loss, with the healing, it all has to be bite-sized chunks. For me, with weight loss, I knew I wanted to lose 100 pounds. I didn't know how, but it was just like, okay, well, let's start with 5. Oh, okay, I can do that. With the walking, I knew what I wanted to do, but I had no idea how to get there. But how do we start? Starts with one step.
I know. And you know what, Emma? That first step is where people get tripped up the most.
Yes.
And then where else they get tripped up is they, and I'm talking about me personally, they think that the end goal is when the journey ends, and it's not, because it's actually the journey just doesn't ever end. So just because you can walk from point A to point B, and like maybe you've completed the Spartan or the West Highland Way or the Camino, it doesn't end.
No, it doesn't.
And that was the whole point, you know?
Yes. So it's now become a lifestyle. So so moving has now become my addiction. I actually cannot go a day without moving now.
Mm-hmm. And before, you physically probably feel pain if you don't, right?
Yes. It's actually the mental pain is worse than the physical pain. And like, you know, that whole meme, like I'm going for a stupid walk for my stupid mental health, but it stupid works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Friggin' stupid works.
I know. I mean, tell me one person who's ever said, well, that was a shitty walk. Even if you're getting rained on or snowed on. I mean, there's a gift for everyone.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. It is the hardest step to take. I am going to, it is the absolute hardest step to take, that first step. And I think one of the reasons why it's the hardest step to take is because we're so, like, as humans, we are conditioned to, like, we are raised to basically serve others, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when you take that first step, who are you serving? You're only serving yourself. So I think that's why people have a hard time taking that first step, is because we are conditioned to serve others. But what you've got to realize is that when you're serving yourself by taking that first step, you are actually serving others.
Absolutely.
So, and again, I apologize for the hooey, but I do believe in energy. Okay. I believe in positive energy. I believe in negative energy. So when we walk, when we move, when we somatically release negative trauma, what we're doing is we're clearing the way for positive energy. Mm-hmm. That's healing. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can't help but be healed by positive energy. It's just what it does. So
absolutely,
when you are healed, it means that you can just be a decent human out in society. So are actually serving others by serving yourself. Because when you think about, like, when you look at the tragedies of the world and like the shooters and things like that, they're not healed. Okay. So they are a menace to society. So if you look, if anybody is, you know, looking to start their healing journey, and they're afraid of being selfish, I have one message, and that is, you cannot pour from an empty cup. So if you think you're being selfish by filling up your own cup, you actually aren't. You are filling up everybody else's cup by filling up your own.
Yes. And that is the number one thing that I try to preach. And it's hard because everyone needs a piece of us.
Yeah.
But it, like, I know that I'm a bitch on wheels if I don't take care of myself. I know that about myself. And so I would even say to Alvi, I'm like, you know, I haven't been able to get to this or this. And because we kind of have, you know, we have a division of tasks, but I really need to go to the gym, or I really need to get out for a walk. And he's always going to be like, go take care of yourself.
Yes.
Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. It's just the truth. It's the truth. And you are 100% right. We are conditioned to believe, especially women, that we're put on this earth to serve. And we're wired that way. And it's hard to shut that gene off.
It is.
The other thing that I think that is a huge obstacle in getting started is feeling that we're worth it in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
And that is when we come to that decision, that is step one, deciding we're worth it. Then the next step is taking the step.
I am going to be completely honest with you. When I first start, my first step wasn't actually for me. It became for me, but my first step was actually because I didn't want to be a burden to other people.
Mm.
So I think that that's why that first time round, it almost faltered, right? Like that very first step that I took, right? It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
It was two Januaries ago when I remembered. So it was because I remembered that, you know, I felt a little bit better once I started moving. I wanted to feel better again. I wanted to feel good again. It was 2 years ago when I started this again. That first step, yeah, that was for me. And it was because I had to feel better. I had to. It was life or death. I had to feel better.
And Emma, I have to share this. This just occurred to me that it's, you know, we put so much pressure on the end and how we imagine we'll feel. But sometimes when we look back on the hikes or the journeys that we've taken, the most impactful or special moments are often that, you know, that one instance where a light bulb has gone off.
Oh, God.
And you've had to, you know, and that becomes like the seminal moment. And that's why it's not, you know, it's all fine and dandy to say, okay, we did it. We completed the West Highland Way, but it could end up that our worst day on the trail is our best day.
Yes.
It could be.
Yes.
You know, with the most growth.
I am insanely excited. I cannot, words fail me. I cannot describe to you how excited I am for this.
Oh, yeah. That makes me so happy. That makes me so, so, so happy. To know what it means to you is, like, for me, it is special, of course, because it's a journey with people who are really important to me. And I've never been to Scotland, and, you know, we'll all be discovering this territory together, and we'll be fighting the midges together and all the things. But, you know, it's like walking for me and taking long distance hikes. I do that. That is my thing. So I sometimes don't allow myself to get that excited because it's like, oh, this is another great hike. But to hear what it means to you reminds me how goddamn blessed we are. And reminds me that we're all going to get to be cracked open.
Yes.
All of us.
Yes.
Oh, I'm super excited.
That was Emma Brett counting down the days and miles until we hit the West Highland Way in Scotland. I just love that she's worked on herself from the inside out. And it all started because she walked into the forest one day. I hope you found some inspirational gems here. And if you'd like to connect with either of us, you can find Emma at EmmaBean73 on Instagram and me at SheWalksTheWalk on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, drop us a comment or a like. And remember, you don't need to let anyone or anything dictate your path. You can walk your own road to happiness.